Turn your Bible to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4. This morning's title is the Above the All Angel, All the Angels. Probably you're gonna, what I'm about to tell you, you're going to say, who cares? But bear with me. A fire team of 3 to 5 soldiers is the most basic unit in the American military force. There are 2 to 4 fire teams in a squad, and 2 to 4 squad makes a platoon, and 2 to 6 platoons make a company, and 2 to 6 companies make a battalion. And some of you guys who've been in the military say, oh yeah, I get that. And 2 to 5 battalions makes a brigade, and 2 to 4 brigade makes a division, which is somewhere around 10 to 20,000 soldiers. To have an effective fighting force, military must have hierarchy and a good organization of the chain of command. Otherwise, you have a bunch of loose soldiers and they don't, who do not know where do they should take the orders. I wouldn't be one bit surprised if somebody tell me that humans mirror the hierarchy of angelic force. Because according to Bible, we find that the angels in heaven also have that system. Michael the archangel is top of the rung, and followed by Gabriel, whom we studied last week, the messenger, and there are thousands upon thousands of angels. But these angels are spiritual creatures under the God the Creator. The angels clearly understand who their commander is, the Lord. The first and the last angel didn't get it and revolt against him, got put out from the heaven with one-third of his cohorts. This morning, we not only will learn the fact that the Lord Jesus is above all the angels, but we also learned about Jesus himself from the book of Hebrews. I'm not interested in just learning more about angels, unless I'll get to learn more about Jesus Christ and get closer to him. That is our goal for this morning. Let's stop and pray. Father, there are many voices who are encouraging other people to get close to angels, and worship angels or pray to the angels. Father, we know that that's not biblical. That's not what you tell us to do. We want to know you more. We want to come close to you and seek your face more than seeking your hands. Father, we are asking you to teach us this morning. We are asking you to open our heart to receive your truth about your Son, Jesus Christ, who is above all. Father, we are only seeking for your truth, your ways, from your word. Let all the other noise become silent. Anoint our heart to understand your truth and anoint the one who speaks. Please forgive his sins, for his sins are many. And we also pray for the President Obama. And this remainder of the year, in the 2015 and 16, until his term is over, Father, we are asking you to speak to him. The miracle may come to his life, that he may come to know Christ as the Lord and Savior. We also pray for our troops, especially one in the harm's way, away from their families. Protect them and keep them safe. And we pray for our law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, we deliver the cookies to the firefighters and the law enforcement personnel. They are the best looking cookies I ever delivered. Good job, guys. Good job. Do you know, I didn't know, think about this. This year has been a really bad year for the Cubs, right? You have to agree with that. Recently, one of the rookie officers in Flagstaff got killed yesterday or the day before yesterday. Yes. Another law enforcement personnel got killed. Listen, they don't know whether if you just take the cookie to the police station, they don't know whether they should eat it or not. They don't know whether it's safe or not. And when I walked into them, I told, they know me. They know that I'm a chaplain. So they said, okay, it's safe to eat. So I thought, wow, what a life. And they cannot walk into the restaurant and order food unless they make the food in front of them. Because a lot of times, some of the cooks in the kitchen are former convicts. All right, chapter 1, verse 4, please. Having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained, I want you to notice the first one, more excellent name, that's number one, than they. For to which of angels did he ever say, you are my son today? And I want you to notice another one, I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again bring the firstborn into the world and say, I want you to notice another phrase there, let all the angels of God worship him. Stop there. To be honest with you, the verse 4 caused me the struggle when I studied this portion because the word having become. So, you have to ask your question. When you study the word, you cannot just read the word and say, okay, what does it mean? I don't know. I read it. You cannot do that. You have to ask yourself, what does this mean to me? So I ask myself, how can Jesus become better than the angels? Does it mean that he was less than the angels? Does it mean that Jesus was not all that powerful, mighty God? And does it mean that he had to become better? And doesn't the Bible say that Jesus was same yesterday, today, and forever? He's unchanging. When did Jesus become less than the angels or had to become better than the angel? I didn't like my own understanding at all. So you see, I have this principle when I study the Word of God. Whatever I think goes out the window if it goes against the Word of God. Did you get that? Whatever I think, it's not jive with the Word of God, then I chucked that idea. Because the Word of God is unchangeable, everlasting truth and fact, but my thought is nothing more than human flimsy opinion. Some people think that, well, mine is right and the Word of God should be changed. It doesn't work that way. So I went over the well-prepared other translation. I use a New King James Version, so I look at the other ones. I'm going to post it here for you. Let's look at the first one and New Living Translation. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name of God gave him is greater than all names, all their names. The next one is NIV. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. And the next one is New American Standard Bible. Having become as much better than the angels as he has inherited more excellent name than they. And the last one is the King James Version. Being made much, so much better than the angels as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. That didn't help me either. Because they all said they had become. It didn't solve my dilemma. So I turned into the original Greek word. And to understand the nuance of the word, it's Greek word, genonai. Its definition is, guess what it is? Become. And to be made. I thought, wow, I'm really stuck here. While I was struggling with the verse 4, I neglected another basic principle of my study. I said this before, probably I will repeat it many more times. The best way to interpret the Bible is using what? The Bible. I forgot about that. I asked, why don't I use that concept? And I was praying, as the Lord help me to understand your word. The Holy Spirit, my personal tutor from the God the Father, sent by Jesus Christ, just like any one of you, spoke to me in my heart, Philippians 2. I thought, oh yeah, all of a sudden it's hallelujah thing coming along, then Handel's Messiah song coming alive. I thought, okay, keep your finger go to there and go to Philippians chapter 2. And then followed by Psalm 8. So we'll start with the Philippians chapter 2, verse 6, please. Who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, coming in the likeness of man. Jesus became man. Does it mean that he lost being who he is as a God? No, he did not lose God. He's 100% man, 100% God. And go to Psalm chapter 8, please. Psalms chapter 8, verse 5. This is quoted in Hebrews chapter 2, but go to the original one. It says, for you have made him, that is Jesus Christ, you is of God the Father, made him little, what? Lower than the angel. Yeah, there you go. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. Between the first portion of the verse 5 and the second portion of verse 5, there's a 30 years of earthly life of Jesus Christ. Made him lower, and then he crowned him glory and honor. Now, when Jesus became a man, he became lower than the angels because he became a man. When he resurrected himself from the dead, he became so much better than the angels. Actually, he went back to being 100% God, the Creator, with the final authority. Am I making sense? Don't doubt the Word of God, but you can ask questions to the Word of God because you want to know. The Old Testament law came to Hebrew people through their ancestor Moses. But the better covenant, New Testament, came through the far superior being, Jesus Christ. The majority of Jews in the first century thought Gospels were made by the bunch of a group of people, the mere people, the apostles. But the gospel are all about Jesus Christ himself, and it came from Jesus himself, and who is a far superior than the angels and Moses, as we studied last time. I ask you to notice the three things in verse 4 and 5 and 6. Let's go one at a time. First one, in verse 4, I ask you to notice the more excellent name. What name? The Son. Angels were collectively called the sons of God, not as an individual. There's only one person as the Son. That's Jesus Christ. Second point, in verse 5, Bible says, I have begotten you. The author of the book of Hebrews was quoting this from the Psalm 2:7. Do you know someone else quoted this? And that's Apostle Paul. And He said, "Beginning, when this beginning is done, go to the Acts chapter 13, please. Acts chapter 13, verse 33. God has fulfilled this for their children, in that he has raised up Jesus." And Apostle Paul is quoting here, as it is also written in the second Psalm, You are my son, today I have begotten you. When that happened? Time of the resurrection. The Greek word genoa is begotten, and now we get the English word genetic from this word family. Let me explain. Why is it genetic? Because the Greek word genoa speaks of the equality of sustenance and essential nature become the father and the son. Let me put it this way. When you do the DNA test, your son and yourself, there are similarity in DNA. Especially if it's a twin, there are more similarity. Equality and essential nature, same essential nature. Third point in verse 6, let all the angels of God worship him. You don't worship anyone who is equal to you or less than you. Am I correct? Come on, speak to me. Am I correct? Rather, you worship someone who is much greater. According to Jehovah's Witness doctrine, they said Jesus was a former Michael the Archangel. Mormon people considered him as the brother of Lucifer, which is Satan. Contrary to their false theology, angels belong to Jesus and they worship him. How can they worship just fellow angels? He was not, and he is not one of the angels. Am I making sense? Alright, go down to verse 7, please. And one of the angels, he says, who makes his angel spirit and his ministers a flame of fire? Let's be honest. Have you ever asked yourself in a certain time, who created the angel and when were they created? There's not a whole lot of biblical references regarding the timing of the creation of the angels in the Bible. But one thing for sure, they have not existed from all eternity. Go to Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Let's read. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth. Visible and invisible, there they are, that's the angels. Which throne or dominion or principality or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, in him all things consist. The time of their creation is never definitely specified in the Bible. But it is most probable that it occurred a connection with the creation in heaven, in creation of the heaven in Genesis 1. Remember in Genesis 1 it says, in the beginning, God, what does it say? Created heavens and the earth. It may be that God created angels immediately after he created the heavens. And before he created the earth. How do I know for sure? According to Bible. Job chapter 38. I wouldn't say this unless I can back it up with the word of God. In context, right? Chapter 38 verse 4, please. God is asking to Job, where were you? That's Job. When I, that's God, lay the foundation of the earth, tell me, if you have understanding, who determined its measurement? Surely you know. Or who stretched out the line upon it? To what were its foundations fastened? Or who laid its cornerstone? When the morning stars sang together, all the sons of God shouted for joy. God created heaven, and the sons of God, as I mentioned, is the angels. So in other words, God created heaven, and God created the angels right before he created earth. And you're thinking, I know what you're thinking. Are you telling me that God created heaven, and before He created the earth, He created the angels, and within that group, angel group, they had enough time for the Lucifer to revolt against God with one third of angels, and they got kicked out in 24-hour period. Yeah, fat chance. No. Stay with me. Do you know why we have a hard time understanding this? Because we think everything within the 24-hour timeline. Just like we think. At the end of the night, my wife Karen and I we are exhausted for whatever we are doing. And we're thinking, why God only gave us a 24 hours? Why can't He give us a 48 hours? Then I tell her, if we had a 48 hours, we would fill them up to the brim. That's us. But we are always limited by this hours, timeline. But in heaven, it's not. They are above time. Let me show you. 2 Peter chapter 3, please. Verse 8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years, and thousand years as one day. So while it's happening, God is creating heaven and earth in 24-hour period, first day. In heaven, a lot of things can happen. Am I making sense? Don't try to put what's happening in the heaven to the earthly concept. It does not work. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. But to the Son, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And you, Lord, in the beginning, the later foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hand. And they will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment. And like a cloak, you will fold them up, and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your ears will not fail. There are two quotes from the Old Testament section in this section of the scripture. The author of this book was quoting the Old Testament scripture because it's familiar to the Hebrew people, the readers of this letter. The author was explaining to them the Old Testament already describing the Jesus of Nazareth as the Messiah, their God. Verse 8 and 9, we're quoting this Psalm 45, 6 and 7. God the Father is speaking to God the Son. And this is a very powerful evidence of the deity of Jesus Christ. If God the Father calls Jesus God, how can anyone else argue with Him? Am I making sense? If I say to Bob, Bob is my friend, how are you going to argue with me that he's not my friend? Right? No. If I appoint somebody as with a particular title, particular class or position, that's my choice, not somebody else's choice. And God the Father says, this is my Son, and the Hebrew people all know God the Son equals God. The second half of verse 9, we see the relationship and action of the Trinity. Go back there, second half of verse 9. Therefore God, your God, that's God the Father, has anointed you, God the Son, with the oil of gladness and more than your companions. Companions, that's the angels. Now, God, your God, speaks of God the Father, position and authority over second person in the Trinity. and you refer to the Son, and anointed has in mind the ministry and the presence of the Holy Spirit, the third person in Trinity. Again, in verse 10, God the Father affirms Jesus as the creator of the universe. Go back there. You, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. Whenever you see the old capital letter L-O-R-D in the Bible, it refers to Yahweh, or known as YHWH. To the Hebrew people, they are more respectful for the name of God. So they do not spell everything about the name of God. That's why they spell YHWH, and they do not pronounce or spell entire thing. In verse 11 and 12, all the created beings are finished and extinguished and fold up, as we saw, but the Lord Jesus Christ is self-existent and does not change. Am I making sense so far? Okay, go down to verse 13, please. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits set forth to minister for those who will inherit the salvation? Verse 13 was quoting the Psalm 110, verse 1. No angels ever sat on the throne. The last angel who ever tried to do that got kicked out of heaven, as I mentioned. Go to Isaiah chapter 14, please. Verse 12. God speaking. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, and how you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt myself and my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the height of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. Pure arrogance. There are no seats for the angels around the throne of God because they are constantly praising Him. They are constantly serving and by doing His work. But Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father by the invitation of the God the Father. In other words, Jesus is not a subject. Rather, He is the sovereign God. Then you have to ask yourself, why does the author of the book of Hebrews go to great lengths to explain that Jesus is above the angel? Here's the reason. Even the first century, amongst the Hebrew people, there were a great deal of angel worship, like now. Among the New Age people, there are big angel worship. Do you know there are three places in America, Mecca of New Age movement? One, Santa Fe, New Mexico. And Sedona up in Arizona. And guess where else that is? Tucson, Arizona. Yeah. You didn't know you were living in the La La Land, right? Those three places are heavily into angel worship. It's wrong, folks. As I mentioned, the angel who served the Lord have a couple of job descriptions among many. They minister to the followers of Jesus Christ, but they become the delivery agent of God's judgment to the unbelievers of God. First, let's take a look at the believers. Not only angels around us protect us, but they also minister to us through the promises and power of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 91, please. Verse 1. He, that is the believers, who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him I will trust. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ is the refuge. He is our fortress and our God. And in Him we can find rest. And a lot of times, not all the time, a lot of times, God used angels, His ministering angels, to minister to His people, reminding them the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit. Remember the incident when Daniel, the prophet, was praying and fasting for 21 days straight. The moment he was starting to pray, God dispatched the angel. He was coming down. He was blocked by the prince of Persia, which is the demonic forces. And Michael the archangel had to come and reinforce him so he can come down to Daniel and minister to him. What about the unbeliever's case? In the book of Revelation, chapter 8 and 9, you guys remember this probably if you study the book of Revelation. Seven angels blow the trumpet. What happened? Each time, one after another angel blow the trumpet, there is more and more devastating situation happens on the earth. The judgment. God delivered judgment through the angels. If that's not bad enough, then in chapter 16 of the book of Revelation, now they start dumping the bowls onto the earth. And more and worse situation happens. One third of mankind get killed. One third of sea fish, sea creatures are floating on top of the water. My wife and I went to the Seattle, and there's a fish market. Have you been in a fish market? They throw the big fish back and forth just for fun of it. That place stunk. Can you imagine? I know there are a lot of fishermen who love fishing. Can you imagine all the fish floating on top of the water and they stink? That will be the last, that will be the least thing they have to worry about. Angels are God's judgment against them. This thing happens at the God's judgment against them through angels. In the past, another example, in the past, God used the angels to call down judgment to the Sodom and Gomorrah with a fire and brimstone. One application. Do not be deceived into any false theology of angel worship. I cannot overemphasize this thing because there are people have a tendency to believe this. I'm going to extend this one extra. Do not believe into the praying to the, any of the saint. Guess what? If you are born again Christian, you are saint. You're looking at Saint J.K. That has a nice ring to it. No. I'm a saint because I received the grace and mercy of God. Nothing I can show. Has nothing to do with you and with nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with the grace and mercy and love of God. Amen? Don't pray to the saint. Don't pray to Virgin Mary. Don't pray to angels. There are a lot of people who think that, especially amongst the cops, I learned that, they pray to Saint Michael. Get a grip. Angels don't have a strength like a God. Saints don't have anything. Colossians chapter 2, please. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in a false humility and the worship of angels. Is that clear enough for you? If you are going to worship, worship the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved your soul from hell.